For the first time in its history, New Zealand is in a state of emergency. The Prime Minister John Key declared it earlier as today, as the death toll from the Christchurch earthquake reached 75. At least 300 people are still missing. Rescuers are going from building to building in Christchurch in a desperate search for survivors. In some cases, rescuers have had to amputate limbs in order to free people from the smouldering ruins of buildings. Meanwhile, rescue crews have been pulled out of parts of central Christchurch amid fears that one of the city's tallest buildings may be about to collapse. Our correspondent Bridget Glanville is in Christchurch. She joins me now. So you're just outside the exclusion zone that they've set up in central Christchurch. What's going on inside it?
Well, inside it is very much a rescue operation, Mark, in full swing. As you mentioned, 75 people have been confirmed dead and there's still 300 missing. Police today are saying that they're expecting around 100 people to be trapped in 7 buildings throughout the city. What they've been doing today is going from building to building, yelling out, trying to see if anyone is trapped under the rubble. Obviously, their main focus has been on 2 buildings. You mentioned how they had to abandon one of them. That building is the Canterbury Television Building, and it was badly damaged, almost flattened. Now, there are concerns that there were 50 people trapped in that building, but late this afternoon, police abandoned efforts to get those people out because they said they're 100% certain that those people will not be alive. The other concern is that there is another building next door, a hotel 26 stories high, that is about to collapse. So they decided that Inspector Dave Laurie said he had no choice but to get rescuers out of the area.
We've got a number of threats. One is, as you can be feeling, continued shocks. The deterioration of the actual site itself as the fire continues to the stage where that pillar is now so weakened we believe it could collapse on our staff. At a certain point, I'm not going to risk my staff for people where I believe there is no chance of survivability, and that's just the end of it.
Superintendent, you say you believe there's no chance of survivability. What level of certainty have you got?
100% certain.
So basically you're talking there about a building that is concertinaed so badly that they're sure that there's nobody alive in there.
Absolutely. And just close by to it, there's another building, the Pine Gould Building. And the owner of that building said that he's still, that's an office site. He said that 14 people are still unaccounted for. But throughout the day, we were hearing from the rescue workers that they were talking and texting 4 people inside that building. And that's where the story came today about a woman who was pulled out alive and her husband was there to greet her. And he was in complete shock, obviously, that she was alive. And it's understood that she's in hospital with a couple of broken ribs. And she was lying under some concrete, texting some people. But they're only now really just getting to look at the outside areas around the CBD. It's the main focus has been on the CBD.
Bridget, I'm just harking back to the 26-storey hotel you told us about. Are there people still alive in there, possibly?
They're actually not concerned that people are trapped inside that building. Their biggest concern is that you could imagine 26 stories collapsing. They've cordoned off 2 blocks around that hotel. In the last few hours, I understand that the building has moved 1 metre. We, of course, have been desperately trying to get to that building, but we can't get anywhere near it. It's quite a strict zone that the military and police have put up, understandably.
Well, clearly it might fall onto you.
Exactly. And interestingly, Mark, throughout the day, when the aftershocks have been going on, you turn around and the building behind you is collapsing. There's bricks falling off the facade. It looks like a scalpel has gone through and ripped the facade of this building off. And then a chimney falls down and everyone sort of rushes over to it. And then you sort of look around thinking, well, what else can fall on me? And this happens, like there's 5 aftershocks in the space of 20 minutes. But the focus now is very much on the Grand Chancellor Hotel. And interestingly, the Prime Minister today has been saying that he's flown over the city and he expects that many, many of the buildings are going to have to be completely destroyed and the city completely rebuilt.
Now, there are specialist teams from Australia and elsewhere flying in or possibly already there. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, they're coming in from all over the world. I understand that in the next 48 hours, another 700 search and rescue people will be deployed to Christchurch, they're from a range of areas. In fact, in New South Wales, there are a whole lot of rescue workers. They were the ones who pulled the woman out of the Pine Guild Hotel today. Mitch Brown is from Urban Search and Rescue, and he spoke about those teams coming from around the world.
What we're looking at is seven key sites around the CBD where we've got information from police and the emergency management authorities that we confirming that there are still people trapped in these buildings, so we're prioritising those and having our resources from national and international deployed to those buildings to give effect to those rescues.
That's Mitchell Brown from Urban Search and Rescue. Now, Bridget Glanville, this is all pretty dreadful for the people who have survived, and especially the ones who've got relatives possibly in there. What's happening?
Well, around the edges of the city where the military and the police are controlling people going in, naturally people are wanting to get into the city just because they need to be around if they know people that are in those buildings. But, of course, they're being pushed back. And it's purely because police and the military are saying, we have no idea how unsafe the area is. Sorry, you can probably hear a police car going past me as we speak. A fire truck going past as we speak. So they're frustrated, but some of the families that we've seen around, and we haven't been able to talk to all the families, obviously, of those people who have died, but there's a real sense, Mark, that they're just completely in survival mode. The one thing I noticed at the airport this morning when we flew into Christchurch is that wide-eyed look that people get when they're in shock. And that's all it was. You could tell they hadn't had a lot of sleep. They were in complete shock and they're in that survival mode. What do they do? Tourists that we were talking to in the city, they were walking around the city at lunchtime when the earthquake happened. They can't get back into their hotel or their passports, everything, and they don't know what to do. They've tried to find other accommodation. There's obviously evacuation centres set up. The problem authorities are now facing is it's just started raining. It's pretty much been raining all afternoon, and a lot of the evacuation centres were set up outdoors, so they've had to go into other areas to try and put all the displaced people.
Bridget, thank you very much indeed. Bridget Glanville in Christchurch there.